Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 14th of February, recording at 7:35 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, the big news item here today is that Warren Buffett, through Berkshire Hathaway, teamed up with 3G Capital to buy ketchup icon Heinz for $23 billion. Now, that sent Heinz shares surging upwards, and it's also helped to steady Wall Street in here today, which is it's about unchanged, of course, with an hour and a half to go here before the actual close. But Heinz is an interesting situation because it does meet Warren Buffett's legendary criteria for equities, and it also pretty well defines what we look for in a number of the autonomies, and Owen's done a piece on that which is really quite interesting. Now, elsewhere, let's take the Asian stock markets here first. Some are still closed, of course, China, Taiwan, Vietnam, but they're gradually reopening, and China, Taiwan, and Vietnam will be open next week. But Japan was a little firmer in here today. But the second section index in Japan, which is often a leader, that has dipped. And that suggests to me that we may see a little bit of nervousness in Japan tomorrow. I mean, the yen has pulled back against the dollar. It's down to 93 as I speak, having been close to, over the 94 level, 94 and a half level, earlier in the week. So we've got this G20 meeting, and the Japanese, or I should say perhaps the investors who have been short yen may well be taking doing some precautionary hedging until we get beyond that G20 meeting, because there will be a few, no doubt, self-serving comments by people who are concerned about the weakness of the Japanese yen. And it's easy to understand why. It makes Japan's excellent exports just that much more competitive. Now, what we also have seen here today is a little bit of easing in the European stock markets. Now, Europe had one of the best rallies over the last 5 months or more. And some of those markets are still in form, but they had a very good move, and as you know, and I think the euro's strength was an important factor in causing some anxiety. It was certainly featuring in some of the news, and so the euro is currently getting a little bit of a pullback, and it's currently, for instance, against the U.S. dollar, it's currently down to 133.44, but that's still quite high, and I think there's scope for the euro to drift a little lower over the near term, and that might well help to stabilize some of these European stock markets. But remember, I've been talking since late January that we should be anticipating a pause in markets and some reaction and consolidation, hopefully not stretching on to a correction similar to what we've seen over the last 3 years when investors were quite a bit more nervous. But that will remain a risk, but I hope that we can avoid that, because confidence has definitely improved, as you know. Less fears over Europe, certainly, and justifiably, and less concern over China or just about anywhere else. But also we have this tailwind of a very accommodative monetary policy. And then there's been a little bit of drifting away from the government bond markets when people were suspecting, fearing, or even hoping, bondholders that is, that the United States would see a Japanese-style deflation. Well, Mr. Bernanke was appointed because he was the academic who swore that he knew how to avoid that, and so far he's doing his job in that respect. Now, in terms of stock markets and this pullback and consolidation, if we're going to get a sort of an orderly reaction and pause, and I still think that's what's most likely overall, then we won't see too much in the way of downward dynamics, let alone accelerations. But we're only 14 days into this, so we'll have to wait and see. But I think over the next few weeks, most likely action will be relatively choppy, bit of ranging, consolidation, and we'll see many of these indices which have performed so well moving somewhat closer to their rising 200-day moving averages, and that would be healthy overall. And as long as we avoid the bungee jump type of descents for a number of indices which so alarm investors and have so alarmed investors over the last 3 years, despite the overall upward trends that we've seen, I think that would be a very healthy development for equities and a good sign for the medium term. Elsewhere, now these government bond yields, they're a little bit easier in here today. But they've had quite a push, as you know, over the last few months. And some of these are quite big moves. You take those 10-year treasuries, which I think got down to a low of 1.37. I think that was in June or July. I think it was in July. And that's trading over 2 here today. And that's despite the Fed still doing quite a bit of buying of these long-dated government bonds. I should mention that drift away from these long-dated government bond markets is adding a little bit more fuel for equities. Some of those people who deal in both equities and bonds are switching in favor of equities, but I think that's a sensible move overall. Now, so as we get a reaction and consolidation in more stock markets over the next few weeks and possibly the next 2 or 3 months, we could, where it wouldn't be surprising if we saw bond yields come down a little bit. But I don't think we're going to see a retest of that low for the U.S. Treasuries, the U.S. 10-year Treasuries that I mentioned just a couple of minutes ago. Now, looking at commodities, we have a mixed picture in here today, although a little bit more easing than strength. And the industrial metals are mixed, but we definitely have an easier tone in the precious metals here today. And gold, spot gold has been in a range between 1650 and 1633, and it's not far off that low here right now, down $8 as I speak. They've all come down a little bit. Palladium is down 6.5 to 765. Platinum is 15 lower at 1714, and silver's down 49.50 cents here right now. We do have short-term oversold conditions in gold and silver, but we have had a drift away from these markets on the part of some of the people who were holding them as a safe haven in fear that everything else was going to unravel. well, everything else is not unraveling. And so we've seen some people drift away, particularly because these precious metals are underperforming and have been since August and September of 2011. And they don't provide a yield, so that's understandable. And they're still in broad trading ranges, although getting towards the lower side of those ranges. And we're going to need some pretty clear upward dynamics and a move back above 1700 for gold to really signal that the lows, lower side of the range, is holding, as I suspect it will, and that buyers are returning. Gold bulls will have to be patient. I'm not sure that's going to happen quickly, but we, as I say, we are oversold. And elsewhere in commodities, a concern of mine is the strength of Brent crude. Now, that's up at 119, which is the higher side of its trading, very much the higher side of its trading range for the last few months. And we know the reason for this overall. And Saudi Arabia has had a series of small production cuts. And that's changed the psychology as well as the supply. But it's very much a Brent situation, and that affects most of the world. In other words, the WTI crude remains significantly lower, and it's currently at 97.25 as I speak. Now, what concerns me about oil prices is that the Saudis would obviously like to see crude prices stay higher. They certainly don't want to cause another recession, because that, in my opinion, because that would choke off some demand. But the Asians have been slow to move towards the development of shale oil and gas, and that surprises me a little bit. But they are heading in that direction, but not enough to prevent higher oil prices. Should that should we get any further cutbacks or any further threats to supply, or should we just get investors trading crude oil from the long side? And above $120, I would regard Brent as a developing headwind for global stock markets. And if that happens sooner, it would than later, it would increase the setbacks that we will see in some of these stock markets over the next few weeks to several months. Now, the staple grains, on the other hand, have eased back. They've fallen back down to some previous reaction lows, which I believe we saw for most of them back in certainly for wheat and corn and soybeans back around November. And they're a little bit oversold in the short term, and they're testing lower sides of ranges or previous support levels. So we may see a bit of steadying overall. But what's clearly different this time is that we don't have that bandwagon interest in terms of commodity investment. You might remember back in 2007 and the early part of 2008 that a lot of investment managers who had not dealt in commodities previously were lured into some of those commodity tracker funds. And that's always dangerous when that happens, because there's nothing like a spike in most of the major commodity markets to weaken the global economy and bring stock markets down with a bump, which is exactly what happened. And there were other contributing factors to that move, but I think the commodity overvaluations that we saw back in 2007 and early 2008 were key factors there as well, and that's not fully appreciated, I think, by people who don't look at the actual price charts. Now, I don't see any chance of that happening in the next few months. But what we really need for these staple grains, and those would include, in addition to the soybeans, corn, and wheat, those would include rough rice, we need to see some generally favorable weather conditions seasonally. And statistically, we're overdue for that. So we may well see some improved weather conditions. And even if you suspect that there's some climate change going on, and I do, that isn't always going to be bad if that is the case. And what needs to be avoided, of course, are the severe droughts or the serious floodings, which are also part of the risk if the climate is going to stay slightly warmer as it has over the last year or more. Now, what else to mention here? In terms of currencies, I've talked about the yen already. I think that we are unlikely to see much renewed weakness of the yen until we get beyond this G20 meeting over the weekend. And Japan has had such a good run on the upside, and the yen such a big fall, that in the short term it's not at all unreasonable to expect some sort of pullback and consolidation. But nevertheless, I think that China, Japan, and Vietnam will remain both technically and fundamentally attractive for most of this year, and they remain attractive plays, as we've been saying for the last few months. And if they perform, particularly if China performs, then that's very good for the Australian stock market, as we've also seen over the last few months. And Australia, though, in the short term, is one of the more overextended markets. And I think that's US dollar a little bit firmer in here, and I think that's pretty much it. So all the best for all of you.